Christine and I am an alcoholic. And this is a pretty big group. I just wanted to say welcome to any newcomers and anybody who's been here for a while. This is a great place to be. And I remember being at the Alcathon a couple of years ago, and I bumped into somebody who was from the Freedom Group, Janet, and she was saying, oh my God, I go to the best meeting in Ottawa. It's an open speaker meeting. And I was kind of thinking, wait a minute, my group is the best speaker meeting. So I don't know. But there's so many good meetings. Anyways, I'm here to share with you my experience, strength, and hope. And I know that 2 years ago, I would not be standing here in front of you. I guarantee it. I was not in a good place, and I honestly didn't know what to do, and I had no other choice but to seek these rooms. And today, actually, it saved my life. Alcoholics Anonymous has saved my life. So, anyways, I want to thank Mario for cornering me there on Sunday. I was. It's funny how it works, you know. Giving back and doing service is such a huge part of what I do now. And I was reluctant in the beginning because you know, I was full of fear and I didn't like, you know, standing in front of a crowd, and you know, it was so unnatural to me. And it's just such a big part of what I do now, and I understand it more, how it helps me stay sober. So so I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up in Montreal. In December 1964 I was born. So if you want to do the math, I just turned 50. And I don't want to throw all these numbers at you. And I've been coming to AA since May 2013, and so it took me a long time to find these rooms, unfortunately. So anybody who's new, young, you know, I just think kudos for you guys for finding these rooms. So, you know, keep coming back, you deserve it. So I grew up in Montreal. My parents were from Germany. They were looking for a new life, for happiness, and unfortunately they didn't find it there. And they divorced when I was very young, so, you know, about 3 years old. So I had two older brothers, but they were much older. And for whatever reason, my mother's anger, resentment was turned on me. And I was too young to really understand, but at the time, you know, this is, to me, when I look back, it's kind of when I was being shaped and molded, and my personality was being formed. So I always felt different. I always felt like I didn't fit in. I don't know how to explain it. I just always felt like I didn't belong somewhere. And you know, my mom made a point of telling me that all the time. I was an accident. Unfortunately, you know, I was always on this perpetual quest to find something, and I don't know what it was. I continued to look for it all my life, but I know today what I was looking for, and I was looking for love. But you know, so growing up, you know, I was very confused. I was a confused little girl. I was a very big girl. I was very tall, and you know, I again just never felt like I fit in. I was always on the outside looking in, and always kind of finding my own way. So you know, growing up for me, I was very independent, always doing my own thing, really I didn't feel like I fit in till I hit high school. And that's, you know, when I just felt like I was, you know, bonding with people that were like me. And that's where I found alcohol. I was 12 years old, and I was I was playing basketball at the time, go figure. But, you know, and with that came parties and, you know, fitting in, social stigma, you know, and just trying to fit in. So that's what alcohol did to me. You know, it did for me. It made me feel comfortable. It felt that, it filled that void that I thought I was looking for. And so, you know, it was great because, and it stayed with me and it became, you know, my friend and did everything for me that I thought, you know, was what I was looking for. Unfortunately, like Mark said, you know, when we put alcohol in, you know, when I put my addiction first, it put everything else second. So, you know, I had a chance to go further in basketball and I threw it away. And, you know, I've had many chances for other opportunities in life and I threw it away to my addiction. And so I just didn't know. I didn't know that it was a problem. And so growing up, I, you know, I continued drinking and, you know, and I didn't know. One of my sponsors told me that for me, it was the very first drink that the allergy kicked in. And I'll get into what the allergy is and what she meant by is that, so my purpose when I was drinking was always to get drunk. And I didn't know why. It was just that it was to drink as much as I possibly could, to drink more than the guys could, you know? And so the allergy to me, which I found out when I came to AA, was that what my problem was. And my problem is, in the big book, it talks about the doctor's opinion that I have a problem with my mind and I have a problem with my body. And so the obsession of my mind is my thinking, and the allergy is when I take alcohol into my body that I can't stop drinking. And I didn't understand that when I first came in because I'm like, what's an allergy? I don't, you know, I don't get hives and I don't you know, sneeze or anything. And it's just, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's an abnormal reaction. So my body immediately craves more. And so I didn't know that growing up. I didn't know that. But it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just alcohol. It was smoking. It was candy. It was I had this disease of more. And anyway, so, you know, I went through life with alcohol thinking it was always the solution. And little did I know that it was actually the problem. So what happened was, you know, I was pretty much a social drinker all my life. And, well, till, trying to think, I, you know, I did a couple of the geographical cures looking for, you know, a cure, you know, this will help me. So, you know, I moved to Los Angeles for a while. I moved to Toronto for a while thinking this will help me, you know, I'll be with different people and, you know, but none of that worked. And I was always so unhappy, so depressed, and I never knew what was going on. Like I said, it's still this perpetual quest. I'm looking for something. So when I went to Toronto, I met a guy, and I thought, you know what, getting married, that's going to be the answer. So married this guy, and, you know, it was great in the beginning. You know, we had a good time, and so we moved to Ottawa, and so we started having kids, and I stopped drinking for that amount of time, you know, that I was having kids. I have three kids. They're 24, 20, and 21. And so, you know, but my addictions are like a shelf in front of me. And so I shelved the drinking, and up came my eating disorder. And you know, again, I didn't know that I had a problem. And then, so what happened to me is I stopped eating, and I was anorexic and bulimic. And you know, again, that's a problem in my mind. It's you know, how I perceive things. And you know, I had very, very low self-esteem. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I thought I was crazy, you know. I always had to look good on the outside, but I was a mess on the inside. So, you know, I had my kids, and I was the perfect doting mother, but I'm an extremist. So I, you know, put all my time and energy into my children. And, you know, not eating, but I was there for them, so I don't really think I was, you know, a bad mom. But when they started going to school, and they didn't need me as much, and that's when the drinking came back. I was lonely, you know, so I turned to my friend again. And it started slow. Like it wasn't, you know, I'd have a glass of wine a day or every other day or something. And it says in the big book about it being a progressive disease. And I know that now, but at the time I didn't know it. And I, you know, I would keep drinking, and, you know, we'd end up camping, and I'd bring my little Smirnoff 4-pack, and all of a sudden it became a 12-pack. And, you know, a couple of years later, it's a 12-pack for that night. And, you know, oh my God, I got to get it to the store and make sure we're camping somewhere that it's near an LCBO. And, you know, and I didn't realize that I'm actually building anxiety in me, you know, that I would run out, or, you know, I didn't know this was going on. And, you know, my husband's pointing it out to me, and I have people, coworkers, and I'm like, bug off, you know, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just, you know, doing what I need to do. And little did I know, it was affecting other people. And so what happened with my drinking is that I kind of, in the big book, it says I crossed that line from social drinker to alcoholic. And that's in my body, just, I think it reached a level that it just, I couldn't get enough of it anymore. You know, I went from wine to the hard stuff, and I thought, well, maybe if I do the hard stuff first and then the wine, you know, I thought there was a plan or a combo or something, and I didn't realize it was the first drink and not the fourth. And Carrie shared this joke, and I thought it was so funny, because, you know, it's about somebody going to the bar and they order a shot of whiskey, and they put the one shot over on this side, and they order 9 more, and they put 9 shots over here. And, you know, so I drink the 9 shots, and the bartender's like wondering, well, why didn't you drink the first one? And it's like, well, in AA, they say the first drink will kill you. And that was me in my mind. I was thinking, I could manipulate anything. I could manipulate anything. So anyways, the drinking got worse and worse and worse. And, you know, things started falling apart in my life, and I thought, you know, I was okay because I still had my job, I still had my house and the 2 cars in the garage, like it says in the 12 and 12. But little did I know it was yet, because it was happening. Like, my marriage was starting to fall apart. You know, after 20 years of marriage, my husband's in the other room, and he wouldn't leave me because he wouldn't leave me in this state. And my kids weren't talking to me anymore. And they didn't bother telling me anything anymore. They said, what's the point, Mom? You're not going to remember. I was having blackouts. And I was doing crazy things. I didn't, like, now I look back and I go, who was this person? I was just doing insane things. Insane things. And I'm laughing because I just heard somebody said, so what happens when you drink too much alcohol? And it's like, well, I sleep with your husband, and I'll burn your house down. You know, just chaotic things, or you end up in different cities and you can't explain it, because that day you start off going, I'm not going to drink today. You know, I'm not going to drink today. And So, I hit my bottom and it was one of those, drank crazy. And I actually did, I smashed my head and I thought, you know what? I need help. I need help. And I tried, talking with a psychiatrist and different treatments. And so I came to AA. And I didn't get it at first because I had a concussion, but everybody welcomed me, and I really felt at home. And it was a weird feeling. I actually felt like people understood me, and nobody judged me, And they were like, "Come on in, Christine." So I didn't do what was suggested, though. I did my 90 and 90 meetings, but meetings alone won't keep you sober, and I didn't know that when I first came in to these rooms. I didn't get a sponsor, so somebody to show you, teach you to the steps, because it's the steps that change us. And I tried my way before and it didn't work, so let's try something different. But I wasn't willing. And you hear that word a lot, willing, open-minded, that I couldn't do it anymore on my own. So what happened for me was, after 6 months, I had to try some more of that controlled drinking until I realized that Christine, you have to admit to your innermost self that you're alcoholic, and that means that I obsess about drinking all the time. And that I can't stop entirely. So when my husband would say after two drinks, "Okay, Christine, after two, stop." And I'd be like, "Okay." And then I'd be like irritated. Like I couldn't think. I'm like, "Oh my God." And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And that's where I was restless, irritable, and discontent. And that's what it talks about when, that's what we're looking for. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that ease and comfort of that drink to help me. So, and also the thought of never drinking again. I thought, "Oh my God, I can't do that." And how does somebody have, 5 years or 15 or 20 or, Ruben just celebrated my home group 36 years, and it's just a whole bunch of one day at a time, adding up. And so what happened was what happened in AA that changed my life was I came back, my sobriety date's December 19th, 2013, and the Alcathon kept me sober. And Mario was there, and I saw Rick there, I saw a whole bunch of people. It was Janet from this group that said to me, "This is the best group in Ottawa." And this is where my family started. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. I got a sponsor though, and I started doing the steps. So step one to me is the problem. It helps me crystal clear what the problem is, and that I'm powerless, and that means that I don't have spirituality. I have no power to do it myself. My kids couldn't do it. My family couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So I needed to find a power. And it says in the big book, it's page 25. I know some pages. And it says that our spirituality is our creator, and it's in each and one, every one of us, and it's in our heart. And it's just up to us to tap into that spirituality. And it's just like a maple tree, it's almost like plugging in your cell phone every day. If you don't plug it in, it's not going to work. And I need to plug in every day now. Minus my, I pray to God. Now, it wasn't God when I first came in. That G word didn't sit right with me. So it started with people in AA. It started with people loving me because I couldn't love myself. I hated myself. And so it started infiltrating, and I started reading, and I started listening, and I started doing the steps. And so step one, two, three is our foundation. So step one is the problem, but there's a solution.
There's always a solution. And that's, I tell my kids aren't, you know, they don't have addictions, but they, there's always a problem with something. It's like, oh my God, the brakes are done on my car. So what's the solution? Go to the garage and get new brakes, you know? There's always a solution. And, you know, if you're afraid of swimming, you know, either don't go near water or take swimming lessons. There's always a solution. So I'm always looking for the solution now, and that's what the steps have taught me. So, you know, powerless, and my life is unmanageable. I couldn't pay bills. I couldn't make it to place on time. I said I'd be somewhere, and I never showed. I was never a friend. You know, I was just so unmanageable. And so the solution was to find that power inside me and make a decision to turn my will and my life around. It's like, how do I do that? You know, I didn't understand. How do I do that? And, you know, all these things inside of me, it's like, am I worthy? And, you know, I never had God in my life, so I don't know how to find this. And, you know, it, again, it just slowly started, and it can be anything that we want it to be. Mine was the people, it was love. And then it slowly started to be plants and bees and things that I noticed and just beauty. And now, you know, I name it God. But step four was big for me. You know, I was a little bit afraid of doing it because it's looking at me. And I didn't think I was the problem because everybody else in my life was the problem. It was my husband and my mom and my dad not leaving. You know, it was my dog. It was everybody. And so when I was pointing the finger at everybody and blaming, there's three pointing back at me. And so I do this four step, and I've done three, four steps, and I didn't understand the first two times. And I have an amazing sponsor now that taught me. I can do, you know, 1,000 resentments on my husband. And it's really, it doesn't matter. Yeah, he hurt me, you know, he did things, and it's the last column though that I need to look at me. So, you know, I'm angry, I'm resentful, I'm judging, I'm untrusting, you know, I'm avoidant, I don't communicate. And it's a pattern when it came to my husband and my children, and, you know, and it was eye-opening to me to see that, oh my God, I've been the problem all along. You know, but it's not about beating myself up though. It's just more clarity as to see that, okay, you know, I own all the stuff I did the first 50 years of my life, and but I can learn from it, grow, and I can move on. So, you know, that's when we share it with somebody. God already knows, I know, and it's something about sharing it with another human being and getting it out. That's our step five. And then 4, 5, 6, 7 kind of all go together because you write it down, you share it, and then you say, help remove, you know, I'm very controlling. I like to control like the universe. And it's very exhausting, you know? So I had to give that up. And things are way better when I'm not controlling everything. And I let, I say in the morning, God direct my thinking. Before my feet even hit the floor, because otherwise I could say, oh my God, did you snore all night and the dog's in the way? And, you know, so I just, right away, I'm grateful, and I, God direct my thinking, it gets Christine out of the way. And, you know, so all through the day I notice things that come up, you know, and I try to fix things right away because I know what my behavior is now. I know what my pattern is. I know how I need to treat people with respect. So I didn't do that. I need to do it at home because I can be nice to all of you and then go home and take it all out on my kids and my husband. And so the steps have changed my life. You know, step 9 was also a big one for me because it's about making amends. And the first person I had to make amends to was me. I wasn't allowed to go further than that. And it's, you know, it makes sense to me now because I could love all of you. And I do. I love all of you. And, but I couldn't love myself. And that's tough. That's tough. So I had to make amends to myself. And you know, when I said it, I was looking for love my entire life. And I had a sponsee that said to me, Christine, what does love have to do with sobriety? And it's like, it has everything to do with it. Because drinking is but a symptom, you know? And I know sometimes it sounds cheesy when you're new, because it did to me. I was like, whatever, you know? But it is. It's like, I understand it now because I've done the work. And you need to do the work to get the results. You need to do the steps. It's like going to the gym. This is like the gym. Meetings are like the gym. And you just go, hey, hey, hey. You never pick up a weight. You're not going to get the results. And, you know, so I've done the steps, but I don't just do them. I live them now. I live them. And I never thought every day I could wake up happy. I didn't laugh ever. I thought it was because I was German. You know, German people are very, you know, I did. I was like, I don't laugh. My kids never heard me laugh until like a year ago. I started coming here and laughing, and now we joke about things like, oh my God, you know, we laugh about everything. It's so funny. There's so many funny people here. We're pretty funny people. You know, everybody has a story, you know, and we're all really beautiful people. And, you know, I see changes in people that do the steps. And I see changes in people that don't, or have done the steps and don't live the steps. And what happens is we return to our old behaviors. We go to default and our shoelace breaks and we say, F it, I'm going to go drink, you know. Because we're in the spiritual malady. So the answer to my life, to change me, to have this spiritual awakening, which it says in step 12, was to do the steps, 1 to 12, not 1, 2, 3, 6, 9. I had to do 1 to 12. And the greatest gift for me today is step 12. And that's helping others. I spend so much time with other people now, I thought it was never possible because I was the most selfish person in the world. In the world. It was all about me. All about me. And at the time, it was where I was going to get the next drink, you know? And it's not like that anymore. It's not like that anymore. And, you know, I have to watch, though, because, you know, in Superstore, there's these little samples of wine, and it's like, it's just this close, right? It's just this close. So the big book says I recoil from it like it's a hot flame. You know, it's going to burn me. And it has. And, you know, all I can hope is that, you know, maybe you guys get a little something out of this. I had a hard time relating at first because it was a guy and he was older and, you know, and he had a motorcycle and I was like, no, no. We're really so much alike. And if you start to listen, it's weird. You know, we have this problem and it's our thinking. Because when we stop drinking, we don't have the allergy anymore. So the problem's in our head. I know my problems in my head, because I can be in 1999 or 2023 in a second. So I live in the moment now. And the most important part of my day right now is standing here talking to you. I spend time with my kids now. They are so proud of me. They come to a lot of my meetings. And their lives have changed. And it's amazing how I thought I wasn't hurting anybody. But I was. It was affecting them in school, in jobs, in hockey. You know, my husband's business was not doing well. And now I'm like the nucleus because now, you know, my daughter's getting a promotion at the bank and my son's third year university and high marks and my other son's doing well in hockey. And it's, you know, I thought, wow. And I had somebody, my home group said, isn't it amazing, Christine, how when you're doing well, things around you are doing well. And those promises have come so true for me, you know, they're beautiful, the 9-step promises, they don't come right away, you got to do the work, but you need to do the work or those promises can go, it doesn't say anything about it, but they can go back too. So, you know, all I hope for you guys is that, you know, anybody who's thinking, you know, maybe I shouldn't be here, or, you know, or have any doubts, it's like, you know, can you stop drinking? Can you stop drinking entirely when somebody tells you? And only you can decide whether you're an alcoholic or not. I can't tell anybody that. And, you know, like I said, it's changed my life. I love everybody. If I don't love everybody, then I don't like them. If I don't like them, I probably have a resentment. And a resentment is the number one thing that will make an alcoholic go back out and drink. So I have to clean up what's inside of me, clean up my side of the street, get this shit out, excuse my language, so I can let that spirit in. And I didn't understand that. So it's that physical, mental, spiritual, you know, that keeps us rolling. And then we got to find that balance too, because, you know, we stop drinking, then we want to do sex, gambling, or whatever. So we still got to keep things in check, right? Kind of our wheel, you know, got to do so much sleep, work, friends, you know, so it's about balance now. But life is so much better for me now. And Mario, thank you so much. I love you. You teach me service. And good luck in your triathlon.